So, Jesus was going on a journey. So he was traveling through a place called Samaria, which was kind of up north, if you like, where the dodgy people were. And I can say that because I'm from up north. he was going on this journey, and he stops at a well. And his disciples leave him, and they go into the town and buy some food. And they leave him there. And then this woman comes along. We don't know her name, but I'm going to call her Evangelina. And she comes, and she has this chat with Jesus, and he starts off by saying, "Can you give me a drink, please? I'm quite thirsty." They're sitting at a well, and Jesus doesn't have anything to get water with. So he asks her for a drink. And then they have this amazing conversation, and Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's quite incredible, isn't it? If we come to Jesus, we can have eternal life, and that is what we want to share with the people around us. And even if we don't get that far in the conversation today, it doesn't matter. We're still pointing people to the spring of eternal life. But they have this amazing conversation, Jesus and this woman, and it gets quite deep and quite personal. But we don't have time to read it, so please read John chapter 4, because it's an amazing story. But we're going to pick up the story at verse 27. So John chapter 4, verse 27. Okay. "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this man be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'Oh, I've got food to eat you don't know anything about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Did somebody bring him some food? What's he talking about?' Verse 34, 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." There's quite a lot in that passage. It's an amazing passage. We're going to talk about the E word today. What's the E word? Evangelism. Well done, Daniel. Sometimes it gets a bit of a bad press, evangelism, because, as James was saying, it feels awkward. It feels uncomfortable. You know, you have to put yourself out there, say, this is what I believe. And you're challenging people, and people don't always like to be challenged. You know, people don't always like to hear that their lives need Jesus because they think they're fine, or they're pretending that they're fine. You know, it's awkward. It's not always comfortable. But I love evangelism. But you know what? I'm actually not that good at it. Not very good at evangelism. I don't lead people to the Lord that often. You know, I don't bring people to the church that often. I'm not amazing at evangelism. But I love it because I love sharing my faith. I love the point that one day, because of a conversation that I've had with somebody, it's another step closer on their journey towards knowing Jesus. So then maybe one day they'll know Jesus. No. My grandma is 89 now. She's doing very well for her age, but she's 89. And every time Ken and I go and see her, we pray, "Lord, let there be a conversation." And every time there is, but every time she still doesn't quite get it. You know, she's 89 now. But I just keep sowing those seeds and keep believing that one day God will answer those prayers. So tell me some good evangelists, some great evangelists, famous evangelists that you know. Anybody? Shout it out. Paul, St. Paul from the Bible, yep. Anyone else? Billy Graham, yep, big name. Saved lots of people. Who else? Heidi Baker, yep. Any other names?
James.
James. James, absolutely. What about Marla and Carly? Yeah. What do you mean, what? Jesus, yeah, great evangelist, the greatest evangelist of all. About Priscilla and Aquila from the Bible. Huh? Yeah. Anyone else? Jackie Pullinger, I was studying about her last term. It was really fun learning about her. Joyce Meyer, yeah. Lots of people. Big names. Some really big names. You know. But you don't have to be good at evangelism to do it. There's a guy I work with called Riddell. He's a great evangelist. He's a therapy assistant, so he's on quite a low wage. He works very hard. He does a very good job, but he's always talking about Jesus. We work in a Jewish care home together, and a lot of the people don't believe in Jesus. They're traditional Jews. But he's always talking about Jesus, the Messiah. And if he's not talking about Jesus, he's singing. And if he's not singing, then he's giving thanks for the food that he's eating because he likes to eat. But he's very effective. I'm not as good at evangelism as him, but you don't have to be good to do it. You just have to have an encounter with Jesus. We don't know this woman's name, but after her conversation with Jesus, she went back to the town and she told the whole town, come and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah? And the town all came out to meet Jesus, and then many of them encountered him for themselves, and they were all saved, and they said, please stay with us a bit longer, and so he did. Can you imagine the whole of Addlestone coming to meet Jesus, I don't know, in the park or somewhere? Can you imagine the whole town coming out of their houses, coming to meet Jesus in Tesco's cafe? Can you imagine? That's nuts, isn't it? But the whole town came out, and we don't even know her name, you know. But I call her Evangelina, but we don't know her name. But knowing the name is not the point. You know, the point is that she was so excited about her encounter with Jesus that she just couldn't help but tell her entire town about him. So there's more, okay? There's more. So the second half of the passage we just read talks of Jesus is saying, you know, there is a saying, it's still 4 months till harvest, which kind of basically means harvest can't be rushed. I have a greengage tree, and this summer I kept picking the greengages to see if they were ripe. And I bought a whole load to church, they weren't ripe, and Daniel's like, you have to wait a few more weeks. I'm like, really? But I want to eat them now. But you can't rush the process of harvest. But what Jesus is saying is that look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. You can see, if you open your eyes, there's always going to be someone who's ready to receive Jesus as the Savior. Yeah, there's always, the fields are ripe now. People are ready to receive Jesus now. People are ready to hear about Jesus now. But then he's talking about the sower and the reaper may be glad together. I went walking with Ken this week, and there were some lovely hedgerows full of blackberries, loads of blackberries. And we did not mind helping ourselves to what we had not planted. What we had not worked for, we helped ourselves. And we had lots of blackberries. It was great. And then there were some plum trees we found in the middle of nowhere by some derelict buildings. So they were perfectly ripe. So we were like, yes, we're going to harvest these plums and enjoy ourselves. And they were very tasty. But there's still plenty of plums on the tree because we couldn't eat them all. And we're not that greedy. And also, we couldn't reach them all, you know? There's bits of plums that we couldn't reach. Somebody planted those trees a long time ago, and now the seeds have sprung up and there's all kinds of fruit. So we need people to sow the words. And it might be that you've been sowing and sowing at work. Maybe there's somebody you're praying for at work and you're sowing and sowing, or like with my grandma, you're having conversations every time, and every time nothing happens. You're like, come on, Lord. But you keep sowing because one day there'll be a harvest. But we can't decide when that harvest is going to be. The Holy Spirit has to do it. And then, like the plums on the tree that I couldn't reach, I can't go into James's school because I'm not a teacher. I'm not allowed to go there. I'm not allowed to hang out with his friends. And that would be a bit strange. I don't have time to spend hours talking about, is there a God, with his friends. Only James can do that. Do you know what I mean? There's wherever you are, wherever you go, in your daily life, neighbors, friends, family, you know, the checkout assistant, people at work. There's people that only you can reach. There's people that only your story can impact. So we need sowers and reapers. And sometimes you might have been sowing for a very long time, and it gets discouraging if you don't see anything. You don't see any fruit. It can be quite discouraging. But you keep sowing anyway, even if you're discouraged, because you know that one day God is able to bring the harvest. And Jesus says, the fields are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can be glad together. And it's not a competition. Actually, the great names that we talked about, we know them because probably they harvested a lot of people into God's kingdom and people got saved through their ministry. But we don't know the backstory of all of those people. We don't know the grandmothers that were praying. We don't know the neighbors that were witnessing. We don't know the school friends that asked the right questions at the right time. We don't know all of that. We don't know this woman's name. We don't know the name of the shepherds who spread the good news when Jesus was born. But we, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, names are not important. We just celebrate that God brings the harvest. We need sowers and reapers. And sometimes you get to do both, which is fun. It's fun bringing people to the Lord. It's fun sharing the word of God with somebody and seeing it change their life and seeing their life transformed. That's really fun. We don't always get to do that, but we get to be part of someone's journey. Does that all make sense? Yeah. Yeah. And then Jesus says in verse 34, he said, my food, he said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If we do God's will by living our lives unto him, by witnessing wherever we go, by looking for those opportunities, by praying, by doing whatever the Holy Spirit asks us to do, then we'll be satisfied. We will be satisfied. And that is what God promises us. Doing the will of God, we'll be satisfied. So just wanted to encourage us to keep sowing and keep reaping, and it's going to be exciting to see what God does in the coming months here in this church and here wherever you go. Whether people come to the church or not, doesn't matter. If they come to the Lord one day, we might never know, but we leave it all in God's hands, and we'll be celebrating together in heaven when we know that people have been rescued from hell, have been rescued from their sins, and they get to spend eternity with God, having that eternal life that starts right now.